was the Tax and Trade Counsel in the office of Senator Jim Bunning.
Well, thank you to the other panelists, and thanks for the invitation to be here. I'm a little humbled to be here speaking after the chairman of the Trade Subcommittee of Ways and Means Committee. I was a staffer there about 3-4 years ago, so I worked on the Republican side with Senator Congressman Levin for a number of years. My background is primarily in tax. I've been a tax counsel for about 11 years, so I come at this from a slightly different perspective. And one of the wonderful things about working in Congress is you get thrown into new areas, and sometimes into old areas, because before I was in tax, I worked at the Department of Agriculture under Secretary Clayton Yeider, and learned a bit about the GATT and the WTO during that era before the WTO agreement. So I have some familiarity with trade and opportunity to work for Senator Bunning has brought a lot of it back. Let me give you a little perspective on Senator Bunning. He is one of the most conservative senators from the state of Kentucky. By and large, he is pro-free trade. He has a very good record on voting for trade agreements, but he is very concerned, and I think increasingly so, about the failure of Congress and the administration to address what most people recognize as the currency imbalance with China. We have this incredible multilateral trade regime that we've built up over years, the WTO, that has driven down tariffs around the world. But we seem to have lost sight of the fact that currency is an aspect of trade. Some of our trading partners have not forgotten that. And it was a problem with Japan in the 80s, and now it is a serious problem with China now, and not only China, but other East Asian countries that are overtly using currency to essentially close their markets to exports from the U.S. And subsidize their export industries, provide employment. Deputy Assistant Secretary Sobel mentioned the fact that China is a growing source of exports for the U.S., but last year China imported about $325 billion products here. Trade deficit was a record of $250 billion. Our trade deficit with China went up, while trade deficits with the rest of the world went down because of the weak dollar. One of the charts that is in your packet, it's the third page actually, shows the this is based on IMF and International Financial Statistics performed by Georgetown Economics. Excuse me. Shows the relative movement of the Canadian dollar and the euro versus the renminbi. And as you can see, the renminbi is flat, and the trend line is mainly flat, although in the very recent past, the nominal rate of appreciation of the renminbi has been higher in trade-weighted terms, and in real terms, the appreciation has been disappointing. I have to say that, just interject here, that these remarks are my own remarks. They don't represent Senator Bunning's views. I hope if there are any press here that I'll not be quoted directly. The mechanism of the renminbi dollar peg is quite complex these days. Dollars are not allowed in the Chinese market. Government engages in extensive sterilization. It's built up an unprecedented 1.4 plus trillion reserve fund, buying U.S. assets in order to tamp down inflation in China as a result of hyper export growth. And Senator Bunning had the opportunity to meet with senior Chinese officials when they came to Washington, and he's met with Secretary Paulson both in public and private on numerous occasions to talk about the security and economic dialogue. And I think that his view and the view of his colleagues is that it has not yielded any tangible progress on the currency front. So let me just get to the topics that are probably more interest to you, is what's going on in the Senate. Congressman Levin mentioned the 60-vote hurdle in the Senate, and that's one reason that my boss is an important player, because he would be one of those 60 votes. There is a substantial group of Republicans, including my boss and at least 10 other members, who would vote for currency legislation if it came to the floor of the Senate. In fact, my boss believes that there is actually sufficient support to override a president's veto. And if the Finance and Banking Committee can resolve their jurisdictional dispute and the legislation makes it to the Senate floor, I think it will pass with large majorities in the Senate. So just back up a little bit and give you a perspective on what happened last summer. Senator Baucus, Graham, Schumer introduced legislation that some of the panelists have already referred to, Senate Bill 1607, that would create an anti-dumping remedy. Would require Treasury and Commerce to measure the level of undervaluation of the renminbi and use that in trade disputes to calculate the anti-dumping margin. My boss introduced legislation that would take a similar tack, but it would use countervailing duty, the countervailing duty approach. We think that is a more sensible approach. We think that it is WTO consistent. We heard testimony from numerous trade lawyers who've told us that it is WTO compliant. And in fact, there, I think it's something like, we have at least eight trade experts who've looked at it, who are on record saying that the countervailing duty approach is WTO consistent. Now, I'd say consistent, and that's important. It is, no one can predict what the WTO would do if a case was brought. But we feel that it is good faith effort to work within the WTO rules. WTO has authority to deal with currency manipulation under Article 15, but it is supposed to coordinate with the IMF to evaluate whether a country is using currency, as we think it is, to further its trade objectives. That brings me to the other piece of legislation that's in your materials that we plan to pursue. And this is brand new. It's the China Currency Manipulation Act of 2008. What this would do would require the Treasury Department to recognize that China is manipulating its currency and to use the IMF and other means more aggressively to pursue multilateral action to address the, not only China, but other countries' use of currency to further trade interests and for protectionism. I think it's ironic that my boss is called protectionist in some quarters, because what he's trying to do is combat protectionism by other countries. I'd like to open markets around the world and build support for free trade policies in the United States, but that support will not be forthcoming unless the United States enforces all aspects of trade rules. So with that, I will wrap up, and I'd be happy to answer any questions you have about the legislation. We're Senator Stabenow is a co-sponsor of the amendment that we filed to the Consumer Product Safety Act, and we will be looking for any opportunity to pass this legislation, attached to any bill that we can, coming through the Senate. My boss is extremely frustrated with the Treasury Department's refusal to, since 1994, to recognize the dollar-yuan peg. And feel that it's time for Congress to take control of this issue. And make a finding that China is manipulating its currency. And this is, feel that, in addition, there's clear evidence that IRS, Treasury is somewhat frustrated in its efforts to work with the IMF because of its failure to designate China as a currency manipulator. The head of the IMF has noted that Treasury hasn't made this designation since 1994. And some people think that represents the administration's true policy, despite the headlines grabbed by the SED. Thank you.